Let us go elsewhere to the neighbouring country towns, so that I can preach there too.
Our Lord left the masses and goes elsewhere.
A politician would stay. I've got the crowds, let's milk it. Let's make the most of this moment of popularity.
Our Lord came not to be popular,
nor did he come to heal all the sick. They brought to him many who were suffering, and he cured some of them, but not all. Our Lord is not a health agency. He's not a Medicare provider. His purpose was not merely to look after our physical well-being, but rather to seek out our souls and our salvation.
He bore our sickness and endured our suffering. His suffering led to our salvation. And many suffer physically or psychologically. Everyone bears a sickness, a weakness in their body and sometimes their mind. Our Lord came not to heal us in that regard. Many he did heal, but that's not the primary reason why he came. He came firstly for our soul, that we might seek salvation. See, we are body, soul, composite. And the problem is we too often give our body greater priority over our soul and its welfare. We compromise one for the sake of the other. Our bodies are important, and our Lord is concerned with our sickness, our well-being, but is more importantly concerned with the holiness of our soul rather than the health of our body. Look at the text. At the end of that day of healing and having people acclaim him for being so marvelous, he gets up early before dawn on his own and goes to a lonely place to pray. Prayer must precede action. Holiness must come before health. The spiritual must take precedence over the physical. The reason being simply that at the end of our life, we'll get another body back for those who are saved, and that body will be glorious. But we'll never get back another soul. The soul we have at that moment of death is the soul we'll have for all eternity. So we invest in our soul well-being now. We make the most to grow in grace, to not seek vitamins for the body, but virtues for the soul. To become holier is our goal in our working out our salvation. And amid all this comes that tension between body and soul, well epitomized by the first reading from Job. Perhaps the oldest book in the Bible is all about human suffering, the moral dilemma. Why? When the innocent suffer, it's a hard ask. When children suffer, we are tormented. This book, all about suffering, very few have read because it's such a long book. I have a piece in the bulletin about it. But at the very end, God gives
not the answer to why there is suffering, but to how we can cope. Suffering is part and parcel of our human existence. Ever since sin entered the world, we are living in darkness, drawn to the light. The light is Christ. And Christ, when he was with us, bore the cross. And now, in imitation of him and for him, we bear our cross. And that's what will make us holier and deeply happier than some physical comfort or physical well-being. So we turn to insights in the book of Job, asking that we might take them on board. And when we meet somebody who has difficulty putting this all together, as God was patient with Job, let us be patient with them and say the right thing at the right time, so that we can help them see the path of suffering that it has in their plan, for their sake, for their salvation. And in doing so, we, like Job, might bless God. Blessed be God, who gives and takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord.